Thanks for listening to the Inner Life Podcast. Be sure to join us every weekday at 11 a.m. Central on Relevant Radio and on the Relevant Radio app. Find your local Relevant Radio station for the Inner Life at relevantradio.com or stream us live every day on the Relevant Radio app.
It's time to set out on the pathway to healing and light. This is the Inner Life on Relevant Radio. If you have questions or concerns about your faith journey, if you are struggling or searching for something more, if you are in need of some spiritual direction, our Catholic priests are here to help.
One heart at a time.
Welcome to the Inner Life on Relevant Radio.
Hi again, everyone. I'm Chuck Neff. Thank you for joining us on The Inner Life, our program about spiritual direction, coming to you every weekday to give you a little bit of help and a little bit of hope on your journey of faith. I hope you had a great weekend. Great to have you with us today. And today we're going to talk about last rites. It's that sacrament in the Catholic Church for those of us who are dying or are near death. The last rites are the final blessing for those who are about to meet Jesus Christ face to face. It's something all of us should want, and all of us, no exceptions, will need, and some sooner than others. And we're going to talk about that today, and here to help us on the journey, our spiritual director, back with us once again, Father Carter Griffin. Father Griffin is a priest in the Archdiocese of Washington, D.C., rector of the St. John Paul II Seminary in the nation's capital, and always like to mention that Father's a convert to the faith, a former line officer in the U.S. Navy, author of the book Why Celibacy? Reclaiming the Fatherhood of the Priest, and that from Emmaus Road Publishing. Father Carter Griffin, it's a pleasure to have you back on the program. Welcome back to the program.
Thanks so much, Chuck, for having me.
Yeah, I'm really looking forward to this conversation. And Nick, our producer, we were talking a little bit earlier this morning. I don't think we have ever done a program on last rites. So I'm looking forward to it. And as we do every day, we'll open up our phone lines, inviting you and our listening audience to join us on the program as well. But we've been doing an ongoing series with Father Carter Griffin on all of the sacraments, and today, last rites. And so, Father, get us started. Last rites, what are we talking about?
Well, you know, to tell you the truth, the term last rites is used for kind of a collection of sacraments that we receive. At the heart of it, what often people mean by last rites is the anointing of the sick. You know, technically, when we're receiving last rites, that is to say, sort of the final commendation by the church and assistance with grace through the sacraments, we would go to confession, if it's possible for us to go to confession, and then receive anointing of the sick, and then receive the Eucharist in what's called viaticum, which is sort of the bread for the journey home. It's a beautiful term for that, and the last rites are and we pray for the grace to receive the last rites when we die, knowing that God is always bigger than greater than the sacraments, but we certainly pray for that, for the comforts of the church as we're dying. So those are the last rites. But very often, I think people mean by it is the sacrament of the anointing of the sick, which is one of the sacraments. It's a sacrament of healing, and it's for people who are seriously ill. They may not be dying. They may be seriously ill, and it gives them certain graces, both spiritual and physical graces of healing, certainly spiritual healing and sometimes physical healing as well. So that's the sacrament of anointing of the sick.
And I really like the image for the journey home, because we're all headed there, aren't we?
We certainly are. and we should be praying for it, as it was very customary at one time, to pray for a happy death, to pray to St. Joseph especially, maybe in this year, St. Joseph in particular, to pray that he gained for us that grace of final perseverance, and also a happy death, which means not necessarily a death without suffering, but a death in which we are able to be close to the Lord, and very often that means being able to receive these sacraments too.
Father Carter Griffin, our spiritual director, let's open up our phone lines and invite you and our listening audience to join us talking about the last rites, anointing of the sick. And when have you been a witness to a family member or loved one receiving the anointing of the sick or last rites? Toll free if you'd like to join us, 888-914-9149, our email address, innerlife@relevantradio.com. But if you were a witness to that, what was your experience like, and how did it impact your faith? Again, toll free if you'd like to join us, 888-914-9149. And Father, I know you were talking with Nick before we went on the air today, and you brought up a really, really good point. When we talk about receiving the anointing of the sick, last rites, whatever we're going to be using that term today, with the pandemic, with the COVID, the restrictions, yeah, the social distancing. So what's going on from your perspective? But the anointing of the sick in these times, that can be difficult.
Very difficult. You know, many hospitals are still not allowing chaplains, maybe sometimes just their own chaplains, but not other priests, other ministers to be with their people. And understandably, they're trying to sort of keep down, you know, new cases of COVID in their hospitals and so forth. But what it means is that so many of our people are in isolation, especially those who are most vulnerable, the oldest, you know, those who are very sick. And there's a real tragedy in that. And to sort of to be able to feel that tragedy and to be acting on it, to do the best we can to kind of open it up as quickly as we can so that people can receive these sacraments, especially if they are dying. And so there's a real need for priests to be able to get into the hospitals to do this, for people to be able to not only see their family members, but also to receive their priests. Now, we have to kind of have faith that, you know, it's certainly in history many, many people have died without the sacraments, and we know that the Lord takes care of each one of us. As much as we open our hearts to Him, and He's taking care of every single person who is dying or has died already during this pandemic and from other causes too. We pray for those individuals. We entrust them to God's mercy. And we know that God is, you know, instituted the sacraments, and He is not bound by them the way we are. But at the same time, we need to keep pushing, I think, to open up just as quickly as we can so that we can serve these people.
Yeah. And so, Father, when we talk about last rites, anointing of the sick, just some basics for us. Who can receive these last rites? Let's just use that term to keep it simple for the show host today. But
sure.
Who can receive? And can we receive it only once?
Catholics can receive it, and it would be Catholics who are in, as I said, sort of a either very ill or, and also not just very ill, but also very elderly, and it would be another situation where someone can receive it, and they can receive it more than once, particularly if the illness takes a turn for the worse, or if there's a new situation in which they might be in danger of death, even if it's simply major surgery. And so those would be opportunities and times when somebody can receive this. Obviously, someone needs to have good dispositions. They can't be rejecting the sacrament and things like that. But it is, you know, to really encourage people to call for a priest when they need somebody to be anointed, or when they themselves need to be anointed, or when a family member needs to be anointed. You know, there was certainly a strong Catholic tradition of doing that for so long, but I'm afraid that part of the gap happened because, you know, back in the day, it was seen as really only for somebody, sort of the last thing. You know, it would be, when you see the priest, that means you're about to die. And, you know, so there's kind of a gap in that, and I think the Church has wisely said that, no, this is not just for when you're about to die, but also when you're very ill and so forth. So there's still a process of kind of catechesis going on, but I think hopefully people are remembering, you know, that this is a beautiful gift on the part of the Church, and it means that the whole Christian community is really in prayerful support with that person. So we're receiving the grace of the sacrament, and we're also receiving those prayers when we or our loved one receives these sacraments.
Yeah. And then, so Father Griffin, your experience of the anointing of the sick or last rites, to use that term again, but what's been your experience of really this? It's a celebration, isn't it?
It's just an incredible gift from the Church, you know, that our Lord has taken such good care of us and has given us a good mother, the Church, to be with us when we're born, as we grow up, as we get married or ordained, and, you know, as we go through our life, as we sin, as we get sick, and as we die. And she's there every step of the way. And to know that we'll be accompanied by everybody while we're on our deathbed, most likely, is just a great gift. And so when I've celebrated the sacrament, I have found it to be a source of tremendous spiritual healing, certainly for the people that I've anointed, but also for the families and for those that are around, typically, you know, in a hospital. I know priests, two very good priest friends, actually, who have had pretty dramatic physical healings from some of the from the anointing. One had a tumor basically just disappear after the anointing. And another one, a child who was in a coma, woke up totally unexpectedly right after he anointed her. It's just these beautiful stories. But those, it's not really primarily about the physical healing. You know, we pray for that if it's good for the salvation of the person. But, you know, God knows best. And what we know is that he will definitely confer the much more important spiritual healing through this sacrament. And that, I think, is what I've seen in the faces of the people that I've anointed and the families around their beds.
Yeah, let me follow up on what you were saying there. I have a really, really good friend, a priest friend, here in the Archdiocese of St. Louis, where we live. And he said one of the things that was so key in his discernment was the recognition, to your point, that our priests, you and certainly my friend, but our priest and the church are with us at the most important times in our life.
Yeah,
the baptisms, the marriages, the healing we see and experience in confession, and also at the end of our life. And I just think that that's such a great image for all of us to recognize how the church is walking with us from the moment we're born.
I think it is. You know, Catholics have that gift, and we can lose it so easily. We live in such a hyper-individualized age. We can think of the church either as kind of a fraternal collection of people that we can go to and pray for each other and so forth. But basically, we're kind of charting this course on our own, and there are some who think that, you know, that's kind of one of the real dangers to American Catholics, is that we can slip into that kind of more Protestant mentality. But to return to that sense of this being a family, a spiritual family, that was it's really an extension of God's own family that he instituted himself, and he gave special graces and powers to in these sacraments. I think if we return that, there will also be a lot more peace among our own Catholic people, and you know, less of a tendency to kind of sort of think that we have to figure this out or live this entirely on our own. We have a lot of people who want to step with us each step of the way through our lives.
Yeah, and then Father Carter Griffin, by the way, if you're just joining us, is our spiritual director talking today about last rites, and phone lines are open if you'd like to join us, 888-914-9149. And so, Father, you talk about the beauty of this, the anointing of the sick, the last rites, people on their deathbed, the beauty of that. But I have to believe sometimes that can be difficult. Certainly the family in anguish, maybe despair, fear, everything else that's going on. So you're walking into really a sea of emotions in so many ways.
Yeah. Yes. I will say that in my experience, all of those emotions are certainly there. There can be anger. There can be obviously sadness and grief and despair sometimes. But I have never found my presence or the sacrament to do anything except help. You know, I mean, it's not as if it adds to those things, and it almost always relieves them. You know, somebody comes in who perhaps they don't even know. You know, maybe we've never met before, but they're praying for their loved. You know, I'm praying for their loved one, and I do think that there is a spiritual power to this sacrament, which obviously helps the person that's being anointed, but also those around them and those that love them. And I just see a lot of peace often come into the hearts of these individuals, and gratitude to the Lord, you know, for the gift of this sacrament. So it's true that you're kind of waiting in. You're never quite sure what you're going to see, and, you know, sort of the anguish, and especially if it's a sudden illness or a sudden, you know, experience, stroke or something like that. But boy, it's also so gratifying to see the Lord working through me, you know, and bringing healing to people who are in anguish.
Father Carter Griffin, our spiritual director, talking about last rites today, the anointing of the sick. And let's take a phone call. Patty, listening in Oak Forest, Illinois, that in the Chicagoland area. Hello, Patty. Nice to have you on the program today.
Yeah, thank you for taking my call. I have a wonderful story to share with you. This was September 17, I received a call from my sister. My dad was not doing well, and my husband and I came to his house, and he was downstairs on the sofa sleeper. He had congestive heart failure. I went over to him. His hands were cold, and everyone was over. So, you know, we need to call a priest. So my wonderful son, Brett, called our good priest friend, who was, matter of fact, he's a Navy chaplain. His name is Father Paul. Well, Father Paul and my son, Brett, went downstairs. They went by himself, and they spoke to my dad for a bit. So anyway, they spoke by themselves for a while, and then Father Paul told us, you know, to come downstairs. I come downstairs, my dad was sitting up. He says, we're getting ready to do the anointing of the sick. I said, great, this is wonderful. We all joined hands. He was sitting on the sofa sleeper. My mom sat next to him holding his hand. And we did the anointing, and all of a sudden, my dad looks at all of us. He stands up. He says, I'm hungry. I want to have something to eat. He goes upstairs, eats his dinner. And then he proceeds to go over to the kitchen, starts doing all the dishes. And then a month later, probably about 5 weeks later, he had passed away. So, you know, we were kind of joking with Father Paul. I said, Father Paul, you seem like this is the story of Lazarus. It was unbelievable. When I sat by my dad, his hands were cold. He was moving his mouth, kind of mumbling a little bit, but I think he sensed the family was there, and whatever Father Paul and my son did for my dad, that gave him a couple extra weeks on this earth. So that was, it was such great timing. And Father Paul is a wonderful priest. You know, he was probably at least a half hour away, and he was over that house so quick. So it was, the shirt together, too. I'll never forget that. So glad
that's a great story, Patty. You know, I think one of the things that your story also kind of reflects is, you know, it's not a question of whatever. It's sort of a magic. You come in there and then you just heal the body and then you just do it again and do it again. That's not what our destiny is. Thank God. Our destiny is not that. Our destiny, please God, is salvation. And very often the physical healing that happens is because somebody needs a little bit more time to kind of maybe, you know, seek some forgiveness within the family or to take care of some business that they wanted to take care of before, and then suddenly they're afflicted by a stroke or congestive heart failure or something like that. And so, you know, maybe until we're in heaven, we won't know exactly what your dad, you know, needed to do, but having that anointing of the sick gave him a little bit of an extra time and prepared you and your family and him, for that beautiful moment when he would meet the Lord. So I think it's a great example of the kind of physical healing that sometimes accompanies the last rites.
Yeah. Patty, thank you for joining us. I love the story. We are talking today about last rites. When have you been a witness to a family member or loved one receiving last rites or anointing of the sick? And what was that experience like for you? How did it impact your faith? Father Carter Griffin is our spiritual director. If you'd like to join us, toll-free phone number 888-914-9149. Stay with us. We'll be right back. You're listening to The Inner Life on Relevant Radio and the Relevant Radio app.
This is today's gospel reading from the New American Bible.
Mark chapter 16. Verses 15 through 18. Jesus appeared to the 11 and said to them, "Go into the whole world and proclaim the gospel to every creature. Whoever believes and is baptized will be saved. Whoever does not believe will be condemned. These signs will accompany those who believe. In my name they will drive out demons. They will speak new languages. They will pick up serpents with their hands, and if they drink any deadly thing, it will not harm them. They will lay hands on the sick, and they will recover."
You can find all the daily readings at relevantradio.com/gospel or tap the prayer tab on the Relevant Radio app.
The Relevant Radio studio line is sponsored by Catholic Order of Foresters. Information about employment opportunities and their flexible premium life insurance plans available at relevantradio.com/forester.
If you are struggling or searching for something more, if you are in need of some spiritual direction, our Catholic priests are here to help. call now, 1-888-914-9149. That's 1-888-914-9149. This is The Inner Life on Relevant Radio.
Welcome back. Thanks for joining us, everyone. I'm Chuck Neff, along with our producer, Nick Schmitz, Jim Shaper answering your phone calls. Father Carter Griffin is our spiritual director. Father is a priest in the Archdiocese of Washington, D.C., rector of the St. John Paul II Seminary in Washington, author of the book, Why Celibacy? Reclaiming the Fatherhood of the Priest, and that available from Emmaus Road Publishing, talking today about last rites, the anointing of the sick. Phone lines are open if you'd like to join us. 888-914-9149, our email address, innerlife@relevantradio.com. But as we talk about last rites or anointing of the sick, when have you been a witness to a family member or loved one receiving last rites? And what was the experience like for you, and how did it impact your faith? Again, toll free if you'd like to join us, 888-914-9149. Just a reminder, if you joined us late, you can listen to the entire program. Just download our podcast of the entire program. Just go to the website, relevantradio.com, the Inner Life page, and download today's program and really any of our programs. The show is generally available for a download within 30, 40 minutes after we say goodbye at the top of the hour. And then if the program has given you any help, any hope on your journey of faith, tell someone else about it. We'd appreciate that as well. So Father Carter Griffin talking about last rites or anointing of the sick, and I'm always so taken with being a convert. I know you are too. I'm always taken with the sacraments, and I always use the analogy. It's a one-on-one encounter with Jesus Christ through our priests. And I'm sure you've seen it. We hear the stories of it, but in the sacrament of reconciliation, for instance, people who will tell us and share that the weight of the world was lifted off of their shoulders in that sacrament. And then I've had priests share, and you've probably seen it too, that you could quote-unquote see the weight of the world lift from that man or woman in the sacrament of reconciliation. So my question is to you, in the sacrament of the anointing of the sick, last rites, have you ever been able to quote-unquote see the impact of that sacrament?
Oh, I think without a doubt. Yeah, without a doubt. You know, there's I forgot who said that, you know, being close to death is a way of focusing the mind, you know, that something becomes very real, existence becomes very precious, and the last things become kind of manifest. And so somebody is there going through a journey that we will all go through one day, and they are very often more ready than they have ever been to encounter the Lord and to receive His mercy. You know, perhaps they see their sinfulness more clearly than they have in the past, and they see the weight of those sins on their shoulders. And that desire to receive healing, the spiritual healing, and the forgiveness of sins, which, you know, precedes the anointing of the sick, which is why it's called the last rites, right? It's more than one sacrament. And receiving that confession and receiving anointing of the sick, and then, if possible, receiving communion afterwards. So the palpable sense of relief that is on the face of the person receiving it is one of the most beautiful things about the sacrament. Very often they're very ill. They have, you know, their eyes are closed. They're not able to respond. And, you know, but even then, I think there's a kind of, you have to be sort of spiritually attuned to it. But I think that even then there's a sense of relief in the room, and as I say, certainly among family members. But the reality of the spiritual healing is something that is not always, you know, physically visible, but by faith we know that it happens every time we receive that sacrament.
Hmm. Father Carter Griffin, our spiritual director, talking about last rites. Let's take some phone calls. Let's start with Barbara listening in Clayton, New Jersey.
Hey, all right. I'm sorry. I was just waiting to see if you wanted to say something else. Yes, I called. This strikes a chord with me because it'll be 14 years ago this summer that my husband, after a number of years of fighting a blood cancer, had a dramatic life-ending event. We're a family. We have four children and their spouses and two foster children who've been a part of our family for many years. And we were all, by God's grace, able to make it to the hospital before he left this world. And we were all standing around his bed. And I didn't say this in the early part when I spoke to the phone gentleman, but I had been a lifelong Methodist, and my husband and I were members of church and very active. And we were all there, and as we all gathered at these, you know, last few moments, and I said, let's hold hands and we'll say the Lord's, we'll pray. And so we all held hands, and I started to say, oh God, I know you're here. And when I said that, all the alarms went off, and my husband passed at that moment. And so then I asked him, you know, if they could call our minister. Our minister was away. The gentleman who was filling in for him was away. And then someone piped up, well, there's a Catholic church here. Maybe a priest would come over. So I said, oh, that would be very nice if someone could. So this gentleman came, and he had a very thick accent. He was from an African country. And only thing I really remembered was that he asked me if my husband had been baptized. And I said, yes, he had. And so he proceeded to anoint him. Now that I'm a Catholic now, for it'll be 10 years this Easter. He proceeded to anoint his body with holy oil and I really couldn't tell you exactly what happened from that point, because it was sort of a blur to me, and even now. But my daughter did fill me in, and so that, interestingly, a few years later, I became very open to becoming through a series of events that actually happened in hospital settings, and that's my my family's experience, because we were all very touched. And at the time I wasn't aware that this was something that could be available to comfort a family if someone wasn't a Catholic. But he had said, you know, just if he was baptized, he would be very happy to do that for us. So.
Right. Thank you. Well, Barbara, those moments in the hospital can be life. You know, and especially when a loved one is taken care of and prayed over with by a priest, and it can be a powerful experience of mercy in the context of the Catholic faith. And I think your experience is not unusual, in a sense that many people do become Catholic after an experience like that. I would clarify that the sacrament is it wouldn't be a sacrament if somebody's already passed away. The sacrament is for the living. But certainly there can be, and a priest can and should pray over the body of somebody who has recently passed. And we believe certainly in the power of those prayers. I will also say that if somebody, you know, and this is an important caveat to something I said earlier, Chuck, when we were talking about only Catholics can receive, the sacraments can be received by baptized Christians if they are in danger of death and they request them, you know, and there's a kind of a pastoral need there. It would be preceded by confession, as it would be for a Catholic too. But then at that point, to be able to receive the sacraments is possible, and the Church in her mercy really opens up the gates very widely when somebody is about to die, if somebody is already baptized. So that is kind of one qualification I should have made back when we were talking about that. But Barbara, that's a wonderful story about that experience of mercy in the context of your husband's own returning to the Lord.
Yeah. Barbara, thanks for joining us. We appreciate that. Let's head to Mesa, Arizona. Denise is listening there. Hi, Denise. Welcome. You're on the air with Father Carter Griffin.
Hi, Father Carter. Thank you for having me on. I'm so happy to be able to do this, because my father's story has stuck with me for all these years. My father was born Catholic, raised Catholic. My mother converted when she married. And my mother was very boisterous. She's always, did you get to Mass? Did you get to confession? Did you do this? We were all told at the parish all the time. My dad was quiet. He was just faithful. That was it. He didn't talk about it a whole lot. He just lived it. And, when my mom passed away, he had Alzheimer's, and he moved in with me and my husband. He had a stroke. And he couldn't talk, so he was just kind of mumbling, like, blah, blah, blah. And we called our priest in to do anointing of the sick on him, and he when he got to the Our Father, my dad sat up in bed and said every word as plain and as clear as day. And he was such a prayerful man. He loved his prayers. And that just touched me. Like, I couldn't believe it. And then he couldn't talk again. As soon as he was done with the prayer, he was back to blah, 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 for a while until he regained his speech. But, you know, that stuck with me because I thought that was such a beautiful gift. And he had a particular devotion to Mary. And I think Mary and or his guardian angel, somebody helped him pray because he loved it so much. And that stuck with me. And I took all my dad's prayer books after he passed away. And I started reading them, and my faith grew exponentially, and I think it started there. I mean, I was always faithful, but I really, I think that was like a jumping point for me, where it really catapulted sort of my faith from witnessing that with my father.
That's great. Thanks, Denise. It reminds me of those stories when somebody, like, is in a coma, and they will come out of a coma for like a day and be perfectly lucid and say goodbye to everybody and wrap up their financial affairs and then pass away, you know, and these moments that God gives where you just see so clearly his providential work in the life of somebody and have that moment where to have your dad sit up and pray the Our Father. I mean, boy, there, you know, if you're going to choose some words to say in the middle of Alzheimer's, that would be a beautiful prayer to say and to have that experience in your memory banks, you know, as you think back on him. And it's also a good reminder to us that, you know, sometimes when we look at somebody there, say, in a hospital bed with all the tubes and all the machines and everything like that, it's so easy to kind of reduce them to that and to forget that, no, not only are they a human being and somebody that we love and somebody we care for and with a history, but they also are somebody with a great and glorious future, you know, and that when we, God, please reunite in heaven, there won't be any tubes or machines. No, we will be, you know, somebody may seem to be old and unable to communicate or very sick or whatever, but to know in faith that there is a very bright future ahead for him or her and for us, I think is a really important way that we Christians can bring a much more profound light and the light of faith to a situation which otherwise can become just a little bit sort of utilitarian. So I think your story sort of reminded me of that. So thank you, Denise.
Yeah, thanks, Denise. Let's head out further west, Napa, California. Gordon, hello, welcome. Good to have you on The Inner Life today.
Thanks for having me. an experience we have with my wife, she passed in June of this past year. Matter of fact, June 25th, which is yesterday. She's been very ill for various reasons over the last 4 years, including dialysis. She came home from the dialysis, and she was totally unaware of where she was at or anything else. I had promised her a dance when she got home. That's all she could say, I want to dance. But I know something was very wrong, so we took her to Kaiser and Vallejo, and they would not allow anybody in except for the sick. And so I sat outside for 2 days, on and off, trying to get, you know, word as how she's doing. And finally got a call from her doctor, who was very good, very compassionate, saying, you better come in, and I'll arrange it so you and your family could come in. We did. And for our last visit, she couldn't see anymore, but I could tell by her eyes. We just looked at each other, but she knew we were there. She was telling me she wants the priest. We had talked about that before. So I called the chaplain there, trying to arrange it. Our parish priest was not available, so I called another, a good friend priest, and he says, sure, I'll come right over. They wouldn't let him in. He argued with them. They wouldn't let him in. So I called the chaplain again. He says, I make arrangements. Just tell him to come back. I'll get him in, everything else. Came back again for the second time. Would not let him in. So I was there towards the end, and the nurse there said, we, and a group of us, stay with people when they're last or dying, and so I'll take care of her. Hmm. And I took my sister-in-law back home in Napa and got a call from my oldest daughter saying, Dad, you better come bring her, because somehow the priest from here, from Benicia. I said, how did he get in? So heavy traffic that time of day. She left her phone on so we could listen to the anointing and all that, and we did not make it there in time. But I could hear, we could hear the priest give the last blessing in that respect, everything else. And then the doctor's voice came on, and he says, she's looking at her, says, she's gone. But she stayed awake. She knew that was what she wanted. But what disturbed me is the fact that Kaiser wouldn't let anybody in that we sent. It took somebody from the inside to bring another priest into Kaiser's. And I think to myself, that's not right. That's totally not right. So I have a feeling, you know, that he didn't particularly care for our faith. I know he wasn't that, but such a relief for all of us when she died right after the last blessing, but how much it meant for us in that respect. So I myself, too, have had anointing. I've been in a hospital. I had a bypass operation. Mm-hmm. And I can't really express how much that last rites, we used to call it extreme unction, means to not only the person who was receiving it, but to the whole family. It's a wonderful sacrament and one that gives you closure to a great extent, knowing that the person that you love, we were married for over 52 years, is finally going to get a reward in heaven.
Yeah, thank you, Gordon. I mean, I'm so grateful that that priest was able to get in. I know that it's been a really tough time for hospitals and for the medical profession in general and all the things that dioceses are trying to figure out and stuff. But as I say, I just think we have to keep pushing because, you know, people should not be, as you said, it's not right, you know, for people to be dying alone without their family, without the sacraments. And so we have to keep praying and pushing for that wherever possible. And hopefully that will start to be relieved now. You know, you mentioned some of the other prayers, and it is often the case, by the way, that, you know, one of the things you say is that she died shortly after it was over. And that does happen, that people will kind of hold on, you know, through to receive the sacrament. There's some beautiful prayers in the sacrament itself of anointing is simply some simple words. It's two sentences. It's through the holy anointing, may the Lord in his love and mercy help you with the grace of the Holy Spirit. May the Lord who frees you from sin save you and raise you up. So it's two beautiful sentences, and you're doing it as you're anointing the forehead and the hands. And you know, but there are also, and before that, you place your hands on their head, you know, and it really is sort of epiclesis, you know, bringing the Holy Spirit down upon them. But also, you know, there's some wonderful prayers that go before and after that in the rites of the church, because oftentimes, you know, there's some period of time when the priest can be there, and the person is sort of in the process of dying. And very importantly, something I haven't mentioned yet, and that is, you know, there is a special indulgence, with a blessing with an indulgence that happens if somebody is really in danger of death. And that's called an apostolic pardon. And that simply says this, by the authority which the apostolic see has given me, I grant you a full pardon and the remission of all your sins in the name of the Father and of the Son and of the Holy Spirit. Amen. So you have there kind of the final touch. You know, we have the forgiveness of sins and penance. You have the anointing of the sick, the strengthening of the soul and healing, if possible, also physical healing. You have viaticum, you have the bread for the journey home, and then you have the cleansing of all stain of sin. I mean, what Catholic wouldn't want those before they die? So hopefully, you know, whoever is listening will have an opportunity to really renew their love for this sacrament and these sacraments and their desire to have their loved ones receive it as you saw so beautifully and recounted to us, Gordon. So thank you.
Yeah, Gordon, thank you. And our condolences to you and your family on the loss of your wife of 52 years. God bless you for your fidelity, your faithfulness, and the love that the two of you shared and no doubt made a difference in your little world. So God bless you. Thanks for joining us on the program today. Father Carter Griffin is our spiritual director, talking about last rites. When have you been a witness to a family member or loved one receiving last rites or the anointing of the sick? And what was your experience like? like? How did it impact your faith? Toll-free phone number if you would like to join us, 888-914-9149. Stay with us. We'll be right back. You're listening to The Inner Life on Relevant Radio and the Relevant Radio app.
Welcome back to The Inner Life on Relevant Radio. You can like us on Facebook and follow us on Twitter at Inner Life Show or email us innerlife@relevantradio.com. This is The Inner Life on Relevant Radio.
Thanks for joining us. Father Carter Griffin is our spiritual director. Father Griffin is a priest in the Archdiocese of Washington, D.C., rector of the St. John Paul II Seminary. In the nation's capital, talking today about last rites, the anointing of the sick. And we'll get to some more phone calls here in just a moment as we talk about this really beautiful sacrament. I mean, gosh, the stories of people calling in today. Again, if you've missed the program, I'd really encourage you to download the program, listen to the podcast after we're off the air today. Just some beautiful stories of our listeners just walking us into those really grace-filled moments, the last moments of the life of their loved ones, and just really, really beautiful stories today. So we're going to get to some more phone calls, but I just want to remind you, I think you all know the National March for Life is not going to be taking place in person this year. However, we can make an impact for the end to legalized abortion, and we're asking you to join thousands of others in praying and fasting this Friday. And all you have to do is go to relevantradio.com, the Relevant Radio app, click on the Fast for Life banner, sign up, and let us know how you'll be praying and fasting for an end to abortion in the United States. And again, that's going to be this coming Friday, January 29th. And again, just sign up and go to the website. You can do that. And you'll also find some information on how to fast and ideas for fasting alternatives. Father Carter Griffin, our spiritual director, let's get back to the phones. And Kay, listening in Wisconsin Rapids, Wisconsin, thank you for waiting and welcome to The Inner Life.
Hi, Father Griffin, Chuck. Thank you so much for taking...
Yeah, you're welcome. Good to have you with us.
I have been a palliative care nurse practitioner for about 10 years. Right now I work in a small Catholic hospital. When I first started doing this work, my family and my mother found out that she had a metastatic cancer and had only weeks to live. She had pretty much hidden this from her doctor and certainly hidden it from our family so that none of us knew it was coming. I remember getting a call from my sister that she was starting to have some pain, and I knew that her time was short, so I drove up to see her. And I remember praying on the way that if she did not have a good death, I wasn't sure how I could continue to do this work that I felt called to do. So when I got up there later that day, my brother-in-law called a priest that my mother had really enjoyed having as a confessor, and I knew she was feeling guilty for information back from all of us. So when he came in the room, she was wide awake and lucid and fine and just beaming from ear to ear when she saw him. So we all stepped out. When we came back a while later after he had gone, she was very quiet. I could tell she was at peace, and I could also tell that her death was pretty imminent. She died with a look on her face that I can only describe as being triumph. Her mouth was closed. She just looked like she had seen the greatest thing, won the lottery, whatever. It gave great peace to the sister that I had with me, myself, and my brother-in-law, to see that and to realize not only did that anointing heal her and allow her to have peace as she entered the next life, but brought us such great peace and me great peace, and even in my profession, which, you know, can be very difficult at times. I have since had hundreds of patients die, as you can imagine. We have been blessed at the hospital that I work at that one of the local priests has been willing to come in to patients who have COVID. The hospital supplied him with a thing called a papper to try to prevent him from being exposed when he comes in to see these patients. And even though I know I can give people medication for their breathing, for their pain, for some of their physical suffering, I see over and over again what a priest brings to that situation, especially if we can get the priest there before that patient is asleep or not responding. They actually do more good than I do. So I cannot thank you enough, Father, and all of the priests that I know, and every priest that does this work, just to let you know how important it is and how valuable it is to the patients that you're seeing.
Well, thank you, Kay. And I would like to kind of sort of repeat that back to you, because one of the things that I have just become so impressed by in my years as a priest, and frankly, especially this year, has been the work of so many medical professionals. But in a particular way, I find the palliative care nurses and people who are involved in that work, hospice work, to be doing incredibly beautiful and, frankly, often very spiritual work. I mean, obviously taking care of the bodies, but oftentimes they are the person that the patient is with as he or she dies. And the how hard that must be day in and day out to go through that. I mean, I know I've had nurses just, you know, weeping, you know, outside the room as another one has died. And to have somebody there, even if it's not a relative, to have a human being there who obviously cares, as I know and I can tell you do, is a great, great, beautiful gift. And I'm so glad that the Lord gave you that little consolation, not little, big consolation, with your mom's wonderful death and the role that the sacraments had to play in it. And you couldn't be more right about, you know, saying how much better it is if we can bring a priest in while the person is still responsive. I mean, bring the priest in anyway, as long as the person is still alive. Even if the person has died, the priest can be with the family and bless the body. But certainly if the person is still alive, but all the better if they can still respond, they can go to confession, they can know that they've received that, and you can know that they've received those graces that can best be received when we're able to respond. So that was just some great, great lessons and beautiful, beautiful testimony, Kay. Thank you.
Yeah. Thank you, Kay. A pleasure to have you on the program today. Not a lot of time, so let's take at least one more phone call. Maria, listening in Los Angeles, thank you for the call. Thank you for waiting, and welcome.
Thank you so much for discussing this important topic of the last rites. I had a personal experience that I'm still living. It's a miracle. In 1960, I had just graduated from Catholic Girls High School in Los Angeles. Our priest teacher was talking about the sacraments. When he was talking about the sacraments of, they used to call it extreme unction, he explained that there was a spiritual healing, and then he added, sometimes, if it's for the good of the person, soul, physical healing. I remember being a incredulous teenager and, you know, kind of doubting that. But it just happened that following Christmas, after I was out of high school, I ended up with a severe appendectomy that ruptured. The appendix ruptured, and the doctors thought I was really close to dying. And I remember during all that time that I was suffering so much, I kept praying and offering it up as redemptive suffering, because the sisters had always told us you could offer up your pain and suffering. So my intention was for the conversion of my parents, and they had been away from the sacraments for a long time. And then so I was so desperate that day that my parents visited me, and I asked them to contact the chaplain. And a wonderful priest showed up there like an angel of light. And I, in my fog, I recognized him, that he had given us a retreat the year before. And he heard my confession. He was very concerned. And at that time, he anointed all of my senses. They began with the anointing of the forehead, the eyes, the ears, the mouth. By the time he got down to my feet, I was totally cured. I knew it immediately. There was a total calm that came over me, no more pain, and I was worried that it was going to return as soon as he left, but it continued. He told me he was going to go to the high school the next day and ask the girls to pray for me, but that evening, my sister and brother-in-law came to visit me, and they were amazed because I was sitting up. I was totally, completely healed, so they relayed that to my mother, who was, you know, praying so hard and so distraught. The next day, the priest came, and he was amazed, too, to see me, because from then on, I was totally healed. And so that was my story. It was a miraculous cure. And as far as my faith goes, I think it matured my faith, you know, from being an adolescent to a more mature faith. That I think that was a turning point. So I could see that too. But the physical healing was amazing. And just 12 years ago, when I had a very advanced stage of cancer, I immediately had the sacrament of anointing, and the doctor had predicted I was only going to have 25% possibility of, this returning. And it hasn't returned since then. So I'm always proposing to people, promoting the sacrament of anointing. And some time ago, I was a Eucharistic minister, and somebody at a nursing home asked me if I knew a priest that could give the sacrament of anointing to a family member. And so I referred them to the priest in Pasadena, and he said that these family members had been praying constantly over this relative of theirs, who was, he was in a coma for a long time, days.
Yep. Maria, I've got to jump in here. We're going to run into a time consideration here. And Father Carter Griffin, can you give me a 10-second response to that and then provide a blessing for all of our listeners?
Sure, I'd be happy to. You know, and I think it's just a reminder that God is going to work through the sacraments spiritually and very often physically. And to really rely on and call upon a priest to help and to serve your sick loved ones and to serve yourself if you need the sacrament of anointing. And so with that in mind, may Almighty God bless you, Chuck, and for all of your listeners, especially those who have called in, their loved ones and their families, now and forever, in the name of the Father and of the Son and of the Holy Spirit. Amen.
Amen. Father Carter Griffin, great show today. Thanks, everyone. We appreciate you joining us. Sorry we couldn't get to all of our calls today. But stay tuned. We're celebrating Mass. And don't forget, 12:30 Central, The Faith Explained with Cale Clark. We're back tomorrow. Hope to see you then.